KBLU 92.3 FM Logan, Aggie Radio. Online at aggieradio.com. On Twitter, at Aggie Radio.
All right, we are here in the studio for a pregame show for the football game today.
You're listening to KBLU, which you just heard. In the studio right now, we have the legendary Ethan Chadwick and myself, Connor Rivers. As legendary.
I'll be here all week.
He will be here all week.
Like Ethan, literally every day.
Just to talk credentials, I don't know what Ethan does with his day, but I think he's more familiar with ESPN.com than about anybody else out there. So you're good in good hands talking about the pregame games coming up and also what else is going on in football. But we're mostly just excited to be back here on the mics talking about what?
About football. Because it's football season. We're officially going to open up our new state, like the new additions to our stadium. I was at the event where we did the ribbon cutting ceremony where President Albrecht cut the ribbons to officially open the west end of Maverick Stadium. And super stoked. Like, we get to watch football in an hour.
Yeah, I know.
An hour and like 15 minutes. And we're super stoked about it. And we're going to be doing pregame shows before all of our home games, preferably. A couple of weeks, we're going to be doing them down by the stadium, so maybe we can have some interaction from people.
Maybe it'll be a little more lively, a little more fun.
Yeah, but we are going to be doing it here in the studio if we aren't able to do it down there. But we're working on getting it so we can do it down there as well.
So you know what that means. Every time Utah State is playing, where are you tuning in? KBLU.
Yeah, and we're going to go hopefully to about 15 minutes before kickoff. And one thing that's super exciting about this game is it's going to be the first college football game, well, any football game really, that's going to be broadcast live on Twitter.
I read that, man. So, and that's super exciting because that makes it just super accessible. You know, what college student today doesn't have Twitter?
Yeah, most people have Twitter, and if they don't, they get in pretty quickly. And the thing about it is, like, I mean, I know our student section sold out this week.
Yeah.
And so you don't have any more tickets for the student section. You can still try to go and they'll probably still let you in at kickoff or whatever, after kickoff. But the thing about it is, if you aren't able to make it to a game, you can watch it on Twitter.
On Twitter.
So exciting.
How often are you? You're on Twitter already. You're going to be on Twitter. Even if you're at the game, you're on Twitter.
Yeah.
So just, I don't know, watch the game. Which is super exciting. You know, how did Utah State get picked to be the first football game ever broadcasted over Twitter?
You know, I do not know for sure because, you know, I don't know how they decide that. Maybe with the scheduling, we had already planned on doing it on a Thursday, but I kind of doubt it. I think that they asked us to do it on a Thursday. But how awesome is that? Like, if this becomes a big thing, we're going to be the first school that did it.
Yeah,
and we're hosting it. And I'm super stoked because this game should be awesome.
And what a better game to do it on than the first game in the brand new Maverick Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys haven't noticed, there's a giant press box that they installed over the last year.
We gotta
or
get
last
in there?
2 years.
You think we can get in there?
I'm going to be in there for sure.
All right, unlock the door. Let me in through the back.
You kind of have to have the credentials like this. But yeah, I'm going to be up in the press box, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm super excited to see the Jumbotron and everything. And I'm really excited to see what this team can do because I know that we lost a lot of guys on defense particularly.
And we'll get into
but
that.
But I'm
we'll
super excited that. About this team. Want to do more of an active breakdown on this, but before that, I kind of want to go through some games that are happening this weekend, both in the Mountain West and in the Top 25, and kind of give our takes on what we think is going to happen. Because there's some pretty big games going on this weekend. I guess we'll start it out. There's a couple games today in the Top 25 that one, I guess it's going to start in a few minutes at 5. That's going to be Charleston against Louisville. I mean, I figured that one's an easy one. Yep. Louisville should,
of course,
should not
they should
have this one
even
close.
Just go in and clean up. Yep.
Yeah. And then half an hour after that, you got Tennessee against Appalachian State.
Okay.
Which, you know, you would think, yeah, Tennessee for sure should do it. But at the same time, you look at it.
Now, where
Appalachian
they at?
State was, they're at Tennessee.
Okay.
There's no way that a Division I school is going to play a Division II school.
Yeah, you're right.
But Appalachian State was the team that beat Michigan when they were ranked number 4 at Michigan a few years ago. And one of the biggest upsets ever, because they were a Division II team and Michigan was ranked number four. And it's hard to win in the Big House as it is, but as a Division II school. So that's
a team that comes out with a lot of heart, obviously, and is down to play. So, I mean, maybe they pull upset.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'm not expecting it, but that would be fun.
No, definitely not. But
yeah, those are the only two games for the top 25 tonight. On the Mountain West side, we have a few games tonight. Like, obviously, we're playing Weber. And then an hour after us, New Mexico takes on South Dakota State. Or just South Dakota, I guess. Yeah, South Dakota. And then an hour after that, UNLV takes on Jackson University. That's what it says right there. So I think that those should be wins for everybody in the Mountain West right there. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't win those games. And we actually have in the studio now with us as well is Alex from Overcompetitive Bystanders. Say hi to everyone, Alex.
What's up, Aggie Radio? I'm Alex from Overcompetitive Bystanders. For now, you can check us out at 9 a.m. on Wednesdays. It's probably going to change to podcasts, but...
Yeah, I mean...
They're a show that just kills it.
Yeah, they do a really good job, and I'm stoked about them. And, you know, next week, the bullpen will not be playing FM. We are just going to be as a podcast starting next week. First off, I won't even be here on Thursday or Friday morning
because I'm going to USC. Don't rub that one in. Yeah, don't rub
that
one in.
I got to go to USC next week, guys.
Nice. I mean, we did preview on our this week's show all the big games that's coming up. We gave our predictions of how we thought it was going to go. So if you haven't, please check it out. It's pretty sick. Me and Mason just kind of hang out and talk about sports.
Yeah, and we're actually going to re-preview some of the ones that you guys went over the other day because we're going to go over the top 25 games that are going on this weekend.
That's mostly what we did.
So. Yeah, yeah. And so it's going to be kind of a rehash on some of this for you. But later on, we're also going to go over Mountain West games. I know you went over the Utah schools, but I don't think you did most of the Mountain West.
We didn't.
But we also are going to do kind of more of an in-depth breakdown of our game tonight.
Okay.
We got about an hour total, so we got about 50 minutes now.
Let's get into
that. We're gonna have to cruise through these and kind of give our quick predictions. If there's a bigger game, obviously we'll spend a little bit more time.
You're wasting time talking about what we're gonna do. I'm just trying to talk about football, so let's get into it, man.
We are talking about football, but anyway, so then tomorrow for the top 25, we got Michigan State taking on Furman. That one's easy.
Okay.
Baylor's taking on Northwestern State. Somehow Baylor is ranked. I'm kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, they won't be.
Yeah, I don't.
Give it a couple games.
Yeah, give a couple games. I'll be.
Yeah, they play. Couple of high power teams, they're gonna lose, I think, because they lost a lot of guys to transfers because of the whole issues going on with them,
right?
But they should win this one. Should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
But then we got the first intriguing matchup tomorrow at 9 Eastern time, so 7 o'clock our time, and that is Stanford against Kansas State. And I think that Stanford's gonna run away with this one easily, but Kansas State has been known to have pretty good teams, so I could see this being a competitive game. And it might be up until about the fourth quarter, and I think maybe Stanford runs away from it there. That's my prediction.
I think you're saying it correctly when they're going to run away with this game. McCaffrey's going to take over this game, whether it's with the run or with the pass.
Yeah. Just give McCaffrey the ball in the open field, and he'll do the rest.
They have a small chance to lose, but it's a steal if they lose. There's no way that anybody predicts them losing, but this team has stolen wins.
Who do they have at quarterback this year?
They have a new guy, so, I mean, there are going to be questions about that, but I think that McCaffrey's just so good anytime he touches the ball that he's going to break a couple big ones. And they just reload every time. I mean, you thought after Andrew Luck they'd have a huge drop-off, and then they had Hogan, and he ends up having the most wins in Stanford history as a quarterback. So, I mean, I expect the next guy to step up and contribute similarly to how Hogan did.
I mean, you hit McCaffrey like 5 yards past the line, and he can run it for 80 yards.
Yeah, so it's
true. You don't have to be a great quarterback to make McCaffrey work.
And that's so exciting. Like, I mean, I wish I could watch it live or whatever, but I'm not going to be able to because I'm going to be calling a high school football game with our Statesman managing editor, Tommy Sorensen. Nice. We're going to be calling Mountain Crest football game tomorrow against Logan High. So that's going to be fun. So I won't actually get to watch this one live, but I'm super excited to see McCaffrey play this year again.
He's so excited.
So good. In Friday or tomorrow in the Mountain West, got the battle for Colorado. Got Colorado State against University of Colorado. I guess Colorado University is how it's ordered. But either way, that one I think should be a good game. Probably pretty evenly matched teams. But Colorado just always is kind of rough. I mean, they don't do an awesome job most of the time. So I kind of think Colorado State's going to get this one again. What do you guys think? Or do you have an opinion?
It's a relatively close rivalry. I mean, it's in-state rivalry. Anything can happen. But, yeah, I think Colorado State takes this one. So.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously Colorado is playing in the bigger conference, the Pac-12. But I think Colorado State is a better team. And Colorado's just been kind of the punching bag of the Pac-12 for, well, since they joined.
Right.
And before that, they were a punching bag in the Big 12. So I'm not expecting too much from them.
Yeah.
And then we also have Nevada taking on Cal Poly. Nevada should win that one.
Of course.
Easy.
Moving on to Saturday is where we get the meat of the really good games from big schools playing each other.
You'll be able to watch these ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good, good, good. Lit.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to visit my parents at some point day, but I'm definitely gonna be
watching some football. Once college football season comes in to full fruition, do you really gotta visit anybody?
You have no obligation to your parents.
That is your obligation.
Exactly.
And your parents are football fans. They understand.
Yeah, they'll understand. But I'm just saying, I'm probably gonna have to go in the evening and go visit. Though that's sometimes when the best games are.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting things started out on Saturday. I guess I'm just gonna run through the Mountain West really quick because they're kind of boring.
Sure.
Let's do, what do they call those? Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Just bang through it. Let's go.
All right. Hawaii is going to Michigan. Michigan's going to throttle them.
Okay.
Hawaii's not very good. Boise State, for some reason, is traveling to UL Lafayette. They should destroy them.
Yes, they should.
I don't know what that is, but Air Force is playing ACU. Not sure what that is. But should destroy them.
Yeah. Okay.
Tulsa against San Jose State. I think Tulsa wins that one. I think Tulsa's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
San Jose State. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fresno State against Nebraska. I think Nebraska wins that one pretty easily. San Diego State against New Hampshire. San Diego State. Northern Illinois against Wyoming. Northern Illinois, because Wyoming is garbage.
Okay.
But I think that they will be better this year than they were last year. Their coach is really cool. Got to talk to him at Media Days down in Las Vegas this summer.
He's who was really out cool there asking about favorite colors? Oh, yeah, Paige. What was his favorite color?
I think that he said brown and gold. Everyone was saying their school colors.
I'm watching. She's putting up on Snapchat, talking to all these coaches. She's asking them, what's your favorite color? I was like, I don't care about what this dude's favorite color is. We're talking about football.
We're talking about football,
not
guys.
Not interior football. Design.
Come on, Paige.
Yeah, get with it, Paige. No,
or
just
creative arts 10-10. Come on, Paige. We're trying to ask the nitty-gritty. Have you ever had an affair?
I don't think they would appreciate us asking questions like that. But
yeah, we wouldn't get another interview after
We're hard.
Yeah, we wouldn't get invited back.
I would appreciate, expect the season to go or something to that effect.
I mean, but we did kind of do that with the interviews anyway. But jumping into the top 25, we're going to do another lightning round with these guys. We'll take some more time on ones that are intriguing. We got Oklahoma taking on Houston at 10 o'clock on Saturday.
I think this will
ABC.
Be a really good game. I think this will probably be one of the closest of the weekend.
I think so, 25. Too. I think it'll be a pretty close game. I do think that Oklahoma wins that one.
I do, too.
It's going to be at Houston, though, so, I mean, there's the home field advantage right there. Bowling Green is going to take on Ohio State, and Bowling Green does a decent job as a mid-major, but Ohio State is stacked.
Right.
Hawaii, Michigan, we already talked about. We got Rutgers against Washington. Washington, I think, handles
Washington
them easily.
Or takes that one, doesn't steal that one.
Yeah. This is an interesting one. LSU at Lambeau Field against Wisconsin. The first college football game at Lambeau since, the 80s. So it's been a long time. And actually, I think it was the first one that was two Division I opponents since well before that or something.
Right.
But anyway, LSU against Wisconsin. What do you guys think?
I think LSU wins this one, but I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think. I think Wisconsin's going to put up a big fight here, but I think in the end LSU is too good. Fournette's too good. They're going to take the win.
What do you think, Connor?
I concur. Definitely. I don't have much more. I mean, there's not much more I can add to that. It's just...
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't – I don't know. Wisconsin usually is pretty solid. I don't think that they're going to be close in this game.
I think if they came out, firing on all cylinders, if they came out 100% all four quarters, they
then
could
it could
it
be
away.
Close, yeah.
But the likelihood of that happening
– not very high.
I don't see their big odds for that going that way.
Right.
Yeah, and for me, on this game, LSU's super stacked on defense – and they've got pretty much answers for every question on every position, except maybe quarterback. And so the way I think it is like Wisconsin's going to be slowed enough in the run game, which is all they like to do is run the ball,
right,
that I think that they'll get behind, and then they won't be able to catch up because they can't pass the ball. And I don't really think they use their quarterback much. I mean, you don't need to when you can get Fournette to run for 200 yards a game.
Right. But
which I expect him to do.
The game will be a little bit lower scoring because they are going to be relying on Fournette. He's going to run out the clock a little bit more.
Maybe. I mean, he also busts off some really long runs.
That's true. That's true.
So he does have big play capabilities as well. But there will be a lot more runs and passes. Yeah. So.
And if they can get that passer going, they're going to be unstoppable. But if they're relying on Fournette, it's going to be a little bit lower scoring because you're going to be prepared to stop Fournette. So,
yeah.
I mean, you can't really prepare to stop Fournette, but as much as you can prepare to stop Fournette, you know?
Yeah. And that's the way I look at it. This is a great situation for whoever is the quarterback for LSU because you come in with, you know, the best pro prospect running back in the country. McCaffrey's a do-it-all guy. He'll probably end up being more of a slot receiver in the NFL and a punt returner. But he'll probably be able to take the ball as well. But as far as like a pure back, like Fournette is the guy. And when you have him in your backfield, it makes it a lot easier for a guy who's just starting out as quarterback. But moving on, UCLA against Texas A&M. I think UCLA takes this one, and I think they send a message because this is going to be at Texas A&M. And I think they go and send a message like, yeah, the Pac-12 is for real. And Texas A&M has a good history, but There's some questions about like how the organization is being run. So I think that they're a little bit in turmoil, and I think that this win for UCLA is gonna blow some stuff up, I think, for Texas A&M.
All right. I think that's fair. I do think Texas A&M actually comes back this year and wins this game at least. But I think it'll be a close one, but I think Texas A&M takes the win.
I don't know. My feeling kind of towards Texas teams is that rarely do you walk into a Texas house and take over. I feel like Texas teams are strong in Texas.
And they never stay bad in Texas. They have so many players available.
That's true.
Yeah. They do have a lot of talent. I mean, it is a good team most of the time. They're not ranked currently. But my thing is UCLA has got a lot of really good players, and their quarterback is for real. As a freshman, he was – you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's definitely going to be in the NFL, you know, barring injuries. And so he's a really high-level quarterback that I think is going to find ways to get the win for his team. Uh-huh. And so, I mean, I'm not saying that Texas A&M isn't a good team, and they are really tough to play there. But I think UCLA is good enough to do it. And I think UCLA can be in the, like by the end of the year, could be in the playoff conversation along with Stanford.
Wow, okay.
I think that's one of the better games to watch this weekend.
Yeah, for that sure, should be sure. A good one. Moving on, Miami of Ohio against Iowa. I think that Iowa should handle that
easily.
Southeastern Louisiana against Oklahoma State. I don't think we even have to talk about that.
Nope.
Moving on.
University of California, Davis, maybe? I don't know. It's UCD. They're taking on Oregon. So
no-name school versus, you know,
one of the most explosive offenses.
I mean, they have been down a little bit, but not that much.
They've been more down on defense, though. That's where they can really get hurt. Yeah, they don't have as explosive an offense as they did 2 years ago. But against UCD, I'm guessing is UCal Davis.
Yeah,
their offense will look fabulous.
My kind of feeling with Oregon is they kind of go up and down and up, and they'll just go up, and then they'll go down for a little bit, and they'll rebound right back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is this a season where they'll come back? Maybe. But is this a season where they're probably going to kick the crap out of some no-name UCD school?
Probably.
Most likely. Chances are pretty good.
Chances are very low that they wouldn't do that in this situation. Yeah. Up next, we've got a top 25 matchup. University of Georgia is going to North Carolina. So, North Carolina or Georgia, what do you guys think?
I'm seeing North Carolina in this one. They looked really good last year. They weren't able to finish out the season as strong as I wanted them to. They lost to – it was Notre Dame they lost to, right? At the end of that season?
Well, I mean, they lost in the ACC championship to Clemson.
Right, and then they went to a bowl game. I think it was against Notre Dame.
Could have been. I don't remember for sure.
I could be blowing smoke, but
– No, I think you're probably right. I don't remember for sure on that one.
But I think they come back and they look strong against Georgia, and I think they take the win. Yeah.
And I don't know how many people they're losing from last season and coming into this one.
Yeah. But I do. I don't know. I agree that UNC should have a bounce back year. However, Georgia's in the SEC. They've got a lot of talent. They just got Kirby Smart from Alabama. He's going to bring in some stuff that he learned from Nick Saban, who's the best coach in the country this point. So for me, I say that, you know, Georgia's going to go in there and take a win in North Carolina. I think it'll be a really good game. But I think down the stretch, I think, you know, a couple plays go Georgia's way because of things that Kirby Smart has done.
So you think Kirby Smart will have, like, this big of an impact this early on the season?
I think so.
That's my question.
Yeah, because
I think down the line, I think Georgia's going to get even better and better. But I think this first game, I don't think they pull it out against North Carolina.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's like, I mean, I'm not expecting them to be just suddenly the best in the SEC.
Of course.
But, you know, he's already got a lot of talent. I'm surprised that they had Mark Richt leave because he left a bunch of talent. They've got one of the better backs in the country in Nick Chubb. Like, they've got a lot there in Georgia. And he just comes in there, brings that winning mentality and says, you know, this is how we do it. And I think that they go in and get the win. Now, I'm not thinking that he's suddenly going to overtake, like, Alabama or whatever.
Do you think he comes in his first game, though, and can get the chemistry and get the flow right with the team that they can take down? I mean, not saying that North Carolina is some spectacular team, but, you know, they're not
a pushover,
yeah. Yeah, they're not going to just let someone come walk over them.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Is like, these guys are already working together and everything. And he's had, you know, since the end of last season to do it, he was hired to be their coach before they even played for the national championship. So he's been with them for, you know, almost a year, like over half a year, and he's had a lot of time to work with them. So would they be able to go in and take a win from, say, Alabama week one? I don't think so. But I also think that they've got enough talent that they should be able to take the win in week one against North Carolina. Okay. I think it'll be a really good game, though. I don't think it'll be a blowout win. I think it'll be close. And just a couple plays go Georgia's way, and I think that they win by less than a touchdown. All so right.
'Cause that's the big question to me, whether he can come in this first game and make that big of a difference. And I don't. I think North Carolina is good enough that unless he's made this huge improvement, I think North Carolina wins this game.
Yeah, and so I don't know. We'll see how that one goes. That should be one of the better matchups as well because they're evenly matched. Up next, this one, it's kind of pointless to even talk about. UMass against Florida. UMass is a complete dumpster fire, as we've talked a couple different
shows.
That's
a good term. I like that term.
UMass is up for the worst team in college in FBS football.
Yeah, they're Evan is here in the studio as well, and he's doing the Gator Chomp, or they're just going to eat them alive.
It won't be a pretty game, that's for sure.
I mean, in our doomsday scenario this morning on the bullpen, we had BYU. You know, their doomsday scenario is they lose to everyone except UMass. I couldn't even give UMass a win in that game. In a doomsday scenario, they are just that bad. Absolutely the worst team in Division I. Maybe they turn around and suddenly are good. That would be funny.
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be awesome.
Based off of previous stuff.
They just come and start rolling teams, dude. That would be the best thing to
see.
That'd
be hilarious.
I want to come see them come out against Florida, squeak by. You know, next two games, barely make it, and then just start rolling teams.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. I mean, be great. But that'd I don't think it's going to happen. This isn't NCAA 14 where I take Old Dominion to the national championship in their first year in Division I. But, I mean, it'd be cool. I don't think it's going
to
happen, though.
It'd be fun to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it won't happen.
And then, probably the marquee matchup of the weekend, USC taking on Alabama in Texas at the Cowboy Stadium. What are your guys' thoughts?
I think
Alabama, man.
Yeah, I think Alabama takes over this. I don't think it's going to be close. Like, I think Alabama takes over this game, and USC leaves thinking, should we really be a back Pac-12 team? Sure, they'll be strong later down the season, but this first game, they're going to look humiliated. Alabama's going to come out and just wreck them.
Yeah, and this game will have implications on our game against USC next week.
For sure.
Because, you know, depending on how well they play this week, like things they do well and things they don't do well, that could make a huge difference on what we do next week against them.
Well, and they have Stanford the week after, so they might not even, especially if they get wrecked by Alabama, they're probably just going to look over us and start preparing for that Stanford game.
Yeah, it's a huge trap game for sure. I'm really, really stoked to be able to see what happens in that game. I really think that we can do well. I'm excited to see what we can do. But, yeah, for that one, I can't bet against Alabama. I think USC – I've gone back and forth on this because USC has so much talent. But, unfortunately, you know, and this is what I've thought about more recently, is they don't really have a winning mentality at this point. They lose games that they should win, and they barely win games that they should dominate. And it's not because of their talent level, because obviously they always have some of the top talent in the country.
So are you saying it just comes down to, like, consistency?
Not exactly. I mean, it's really the culture of USC has changed since Pete Carroll left.
Yeah.
Because when Pete Carroll was there, they were going to win every game they played in. Like, they believed it and all that. I don't necessarily believe that they believe it at this point. I mean, they lost to Stanford, like, 3 years in a row now or something like that. With a team that they predominantly dominated, you know, most years they would beat them. I think that USC really needs to fix their culture, and I don't think it was a good idea for them to hire someone from in-house. They should have brought someone from outside because they could install a different culture instead of perpetuating the one that they already have. And so USC's got a ton of talent. They're going to win a lot of games, but I have a hard time thinking that they're going to take over the team with the best winning culture in the country.
I think they're going to win those games because they have that talent, not because they're this cohesive team with this winning attitude.
Yeah,
they're going to win
sure.
because they have more talent.
I mean, are you saying USC needs to change mentality almost?
Yes, that's what I'm
100%.
Saying. 100%. They've kind of lost their mentality of they're kings of the world.
They're recognized as a powerhouse team.
Yeah.
Everybody sees them in that for football. When you talk about great football programs, you talk always about USC.
Yeah.
But are you just saying they don't see themselves that way anymore?
Not as well as they should.
I think they've lost that in the past few years, and it only keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
So
especially where they keep like having to replace coaches and stuff because they haven't done a good enough job. So yeah, I think that USC needs to clean some stuff up. I still think they'll be competitive, but I think when it comes to the end of the game, like pushing to get a win, I think that they won't have it in this game.
Okay.
Because Alabama is extremely good. Like the best in the country, and then also because of those issues where I think that they're just going to come up short because of, you know, maybe some, you know, unconscious mental blocks that they have. I guess we'll see, but.
And Alabama's a team that if you have quote unquote a mental block or something going wrong, they're gonna remind you that you have something going
wrong.
They're gonna
abuse that.
That's a great word, is abuse, because they just play so hard all four quarters that, you know, they never let up. So you got any weaknesses, you're going to find them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Alabama wins. It could be close. It could be a blowout. I could see it going either way, but I do think Alabama wins no matter what.
So your game of the weekend to watch would be what?
Do you want to go through the last couple that are going to happen too?
Oh, yeah.
Before we decide which one is, like, the marquee game, we also have South Dakota State, you know, the defending champs where Carson Wentz came from, taking on TCU. Now, TCU is ranked 13, and South Dakota State is the national champion on Division II for four straight years. So that should be an intriguing matchup because, you know, yeah, they are a smaller school, but they have such a history of winning that they got their guy, their quarterback, drafted second overall, the highest of any Division II prospect in the history of the draft. And so they've got a winning mentality, and they've got that it factor that we're saying that USC doesn't completely have at this point. So I don't think TCU loses to this team. They are replacing their quarterback, so there could be issues on offense, but I think that they will win this one. But I think it'll be a close game, and I think that South Dakota State will show well. What do you guys think, rapid fire?
Just coming off, I think it's going to be closer than you would have thought seeing South Dakota State if you don't know South Dakota State.
Yeah,
but I think TCU still definitely wins this game, and I think they look like the winning team throughout. It's not like it could be close in score, but TCU is going to be the team that you're like, oh yeah, they're winning this game.
Yeah,
I think a first half scare for TCU, but then they figure it out in the second half.
Yeah, that's a good prediction, I think, because yeah, I think South Dakota State comes in and they're like, yeah, we know what we're doing, and they go out and do an awesome job. Wait, was it actually? Wait, no. Was it North Dakota State that was Carson Wentz? I think I'm getting it backwards. I think it's North Dakota State.
I think you're worrying about like a game that's not that important. Let's move on. You know what I mean?
I did want to check this because I don't want to tell you guys or continue that if I'm wrong.
I guess while you're looking, what's the next game?
The next one is Clemson against Auburn.
This one actually is going to be a really good one too.
That's a great game.
At Auburn. I think Clemson takes this win, but I think it's within like that 7 to 10 point range that Clemson wins this game.
Clemson had a great season last year.
Yeah. Well, they have a great quarterback. They have a great school. Auburn, great school, don't get me wrong, but Clemson, number two in the nation right now. I think they're cemented as the number two teams. There's questions on the other teams. I think Clemson's cemented at the number two team in the nation right now. And I think they come to this game after last year's championship, and they're we're gonna come out just as hard as we did last year and hopefully get the championship this year.
Okay, so yeah, it is North Dakota State that is the team that has won four straight national championships.
Oh.
South Dakota State. South Dakota State.
So TCU is just going to dominate South Dakota State.
TCU does have a high-powered offense anyway. So
that's embarrassing.
Yeah, that is embarrassing that I got that.
Pulled a UMass there.
Yeah, I know. It's totally failed.
Speaking
right
of which,
there.
I got to see if Amazon will let me ship back my Minutemen sweatshirt / face paint package. I'm not too confident that I'll get my money back, but
hey, it's worth the shot.
Just try it.
Those of you wondering who the new voice
maybe,
of the
or maybe
studio,
they're oh yeah.
This is Evan Hall. He's great. We love Evan.
Yeah, kind of loner, drifter, sports enthusiast.
Quite flexible.
Yeah.
And a Cubs fan.
And a Cubs fan. So great year to be chronic a Cubs fan. Depressant for most of the time until this
He
year.
Really enjoyed our doomsday for the Cubs.
Mostly because you know.
It just might
with
happen.
The Cubs, it could happen.
And okay.
Back to football.
Yeah,
finishing
yeah.
out, we have Notre Dame against Texas in Texas mm-hmm. on Sunday at 5:30. That one should be a good game, I think. I think Texas is rebounding, and they're going to be more competitive. I'm not ever a huge believer on Notre Dame, so I could see this game going either way. Notre Dame should win, but I could see them losing it.
I do think Texas looks better than they did last year. I think you can never keep a Texas team down, like I said, with Texas A&M. But I don't see Notre Dame losing this game. Maybe I'm a little higher on Notre Dame than you are, but they usually have a strong team, and they're always I guess this is the first year I think they might be slightly overrated in the polls, but usually they're super underrated. Like, this Notre Dame team came out of nowhere. They were always there. They're always at least they're consistently good. They might not be the best in the nation every year, but they're consistently good.
See, I always think that Notre Dame is overrated. I know that they're usually a pretty good team, but I think that they always kind of say that they're better than they really are because they are an independent. So, I mean, I guess they're now in the ACC, but they play the ACC predominantly. And most of the ACC is garbage. Now, right. We do have Clemson and Florida State have been pretty good for recent years. And North Carolina has done a decent job recently. But other than that, I mean, it's a garbage conference. And so they play those guys most of the time. And so they have tons of wins against, you know, Power 5, quote-unquote,
yeah, teams. But they've shown in the past years that they can beat these Power 5 teams that are just
sometimes
lower.
But they've also been throttled in some of them, too.
That's true.
So, I mean, I always want to wait and see from Notre Dame. I think that they should win this one, but I could see Texas winning, especially where they're at home.
That's true.
And then the last game of the weekend for the top 25, which is one of the marquee games as well.
For sure.
Ole Miss traveling to Florida State. Mm. That should be a good game. And it's a big game for both teams because obviously it's a number 11 against number 4 with Florida State being number 4. But at the same time, if Ole Miss loses this game, they're going to have a hard time because they instantly, like in a couple of weeks, they have to go into the SEC West, which is the toughest division in any conference in the
Absolutely.
Country. And also, you know, Florida State, with like I'm saying about their conference not being the greatest, like overall, they do have some good teams, but they have a lot of really bad teams too.
Yeah.
And so this is a game for them where if they lose it, I mean, it takes away kind of an opportunity for them to be in the playoff conversation at the end of the year, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
I think I'll give the edge to Florida State just because I've got them obviously making the four-team playoff.
Got to defend that.
Yep, got to defend it. So I think it'll be close, but I do think Florida State pulls out in the end. So.
I think it'll be demonstrative of that number 4 versus the number 11. You never go into a number 4, number 11, and hopefully thinking, oh, this number 4 team's just going to trash this number 11 team. The number 11 team is just trash. No, I mean, they're a good team. But here, the problem is, so Ole Miss at number 11, if they lose this game, they're probably not going to be even ranked at the end of the season. They have a hard schedule in the SEC West.
Yeah.
And this is one of the games they have to win, in my mind, to stay relevant, stay in that top 25.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right on that. What do you have to say, Connor?
I think you guys are overlooking Ole Miss. I really do. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the Ole Miss is going to win this one. I think they have the best quarterback in the country as far as an NFL prospect. I won't put him above Deshaun Watson as far as collegiate career this year.
Sure.
But I think that he will be the top quarterback taken in the draft next year. Yet.
That's what he's saying.
It's like, this is the son of Jim Kelly, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL history. I don't want to rank him anywhere like a specific spot, but he was a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Led the Bills to four straight Super Bowls, even though he didn't win any. His son is playing for a team that has been on the verge of getting to a national championship for the last 5 years. That team has been working towards that, been almost there. And I think that he'll help put them over the edge and really put them in a chance to get there this year because of how good he is. And he's also got a lot of good teams around him. Good teams around him. Good players around him on his team.
Right.
He did lose Laquon Treadwell, so that won't be easy to replace because Treadwell was amazing.
Yeah.
But he's a really good quarterback. They've always got good defenses there. And so I think that Ole Miss is going to go in there and take this game. I know Florida State's got a lot of talent, but I don't believe that they're going to win this game.
Okay.
We do want to do a quick shout-out to our station manager, Mikey Kettinger, who's listening to us. He's listening to us down during the tailgates down by the stadium, and he texted in, "Let's go State," and he's talking about Utah State and Florida State because he did go to Florida State before, and obviously he's here now. Shout out to Mikey.
So here's the thing. I think actually Florida State at number 4 is a little high for them. When I was doing on our show, we were talking about who we think is ranked a little bit too high and who's ranked too low. And I actually said Florida State, I think, is ranked a little bit too high in this preseason.
Yeah.
But I think I put them around number 9, number 10, actually. So this is probably the closest game of the weekend, if not Oklahoma-Houston.
Yeah.
But I think Florida State just has that little bit of an edge, and I think they'll take this game away.
The exciting thing about it is there are a lot of really good games.
There is.
I mean, there's a lot of fun. And week one.
Let's wrap it up, man. What is your week one game of the week?
My game of the week, I mean, it's hard because it's almost like the Monday game is like a separate thing because it's 2 days after everything else.
Just include it. You can include it. No one's going to gripe on you.
I almost want to go with that one. There's so many good games, and it's great because most seasons you just have these big schools playing these crap Division II teams for the first couple weeks, and we're not seeing that as much anymore. We're getting these good interconference battles, so I'm really stoked to see what happens there. Looking through it, I think I'm going to go with that, the Monday night game, Mississippi against Florida State, and the best game I would say on Friday, or not Friday, Saturday to check out would probably be... I say USC Alabama. I think Alabama wins it, but I think USC keeps it competitive, and it'll be fun to watch those two.
It's interesting. I think that historical powerhouses. I think that sets up the season real well right there in that game.
Yeah, but one of the most important matchup probably is going to be UCLA versus Texas A&M, and the reason why I say that is because we're saying USC is probably going to lose that game to Alabama, which makes sense because Alabama is so good. See, there was another matchup that is going on. Stanford, K-State. I mean, that's not really a great indicator of where the Pac-12 is. But with UCLA taking on an SEC team that has been predominantly pretty good, if they lose that game, that's a big black mark on the Pac-12 for this year. So that, and then also the other way around, if Texas A&M loses that game, it kind of vaults the Pac-12 almost to the same level as the SEC in some people's minds. I know a lot of people will say that the SEC is still better. I think the Pac-12 is right there with them, and they just beat each other up all year.
I think in terms of overall skill, Pac-12 definitely is the better conference, or at least is on par with the SEC. However, I think the SEC's top three teams are better than the Pac-12's top three teams.
Probably.
Which I think is the difference.
So that's what we got going on this weekend in football. Great first weekend of football. I say we take a quick break, kind of recuperate, and we're going to come right back at you
after with Utah State. Remember, Utah State taking on Weber tonight, so we're going to be right back with the pregame right after this.
Yep, and we're going to listen to A Light That Never Ends by Linkin Park as soon as our computer unfreezes, because sometimes it does that. Oh, I guess we're listening to The Pretender.
Sweet.
Right, you're listening to the pregame show for the Aggies here on KBLU 92.3 Logan, Utah. And we are going to break down the game that's going to happen in just half an hour, is kickoff. I'm super stoked about this.
Here, the very first game at the brand new Maverick Stadium. The very first college football game ever to be broadcasted on Twitter. It's a lot of firsts here tonight in Maverick Stadium.
And I'm super stoked about that Jumbotron. It's huge.
It's huge.
And the sound system is going to be the best in the state as well.
Exactly. So. That sound system is sick. My apartment's a little bit away from the stadium, and you can hear it crisp. But like, it's like I'm listening to a speaker in my house. Like,
it's going to be sick.
It's going to be a great game. So let's get into, you know, we're talking Coach Wells. We're talking college football again. And I think the right place to start is Kent Myers.
Yeah, Kent Myers, obviously, he finally is the guy.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
Chucky Keaton's gone. Say goodbye to Keaton. We loved him. We hated him. Chucky Keaton, bye-bye. We're talking about Kent Myers.
We're talking about Kent Myers because Kent Myers, I think, is going to have a great year. He did a great job when the time that he was in there. He kept getting pulled back out so Chucky could keep playing because, I mean, obviously Chucky did great things for us in the past, and they were hoping he was able to do it again. Physically, he wasn't really able to do that, and so he had some struggles. But Kent Myers was pretty accurate. He scored a lot more touchdowns than Chucky did.
He was throwing, almost like 75%?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a great job. For his career, he's got 63%, but that includes the year before when he had to come in as the fourth quarterback when we lost three quarterbacks, and he went in and won a bowl game as the starting quarterback. And so he's done a lot.
He's
what
nothing
he's
to
asked.
Sleep on, is what
no.
you're saying.
I yeah, think he's a very good guy.
Compared to Chucky, we are losing a little bit of that mobility, but we're gaining more accuracy, I think.
See, I don't think that we are losing the mobility, because obviously Chucky last year, he was fighting through some injuries.
Okay, I don't mean like last year Chucky. I mean like in his prime Chucky.
Okay.
But still, Kent Myers is extremely mobile.
He is.
I was really happy about some things that he did last year where, you know, he was kind of flushed out of the pocket, but rather than just scramble like Chucky would do, he would still keep his eyes up and try to hit an open man, and he made some big plays that way. So I expect big things from him.
I definitely think that he can handle himself outside the pocket in a bad situation. He can keep his head about him. But I think, you know, anything you're losing in quote-unquote mobility, you're making up for in accuracy.
Right.
And, you know, you've been hearing a lot about his dedication in the offseason. But really, I think the biggest mission he has coming into the season this year is to step up as that leader. It's always been Chucky Keaton for the last 4 years.
Right.
You know, it's always been
five even.
So it's always been Chucky Keaton, and then, you know, Kent came in last season, and he did great. I mean, he exceeded expectations when, you know, Chucky went out, and Kent came in. He played great, but now it's his chance. It's his team.
Yeah.
It's his team now.
And there were even some questions about whether he was going to be the starter because they didn't really, like, say, yeah, he's the guy at media days. Said there would be a battle. Apparently, he proved enough to say it, so now he is for sure the guy. But Evan, you have something to add.
Yeah, well, I think also just also not just his skill set, but also the support that he has. We've got a really strong offensive line coming back and returning a lot of guys on the offensive line. So I think he'll have that protection he needs to also make very smart plays as well.
See, now when it comes to the offensive line, I remember last year just being frustrated watching the offensive line. There was a lot of issues and not a lot of protection. So.
But yeah,
I think they have that figured out.
I do think so, because one important thing that a lot of people don't understand about offensive line is the more you play together, the better you guys work together. And that was a thing, is like everybody was thrown in, everybody was new last year, and they didn't have much coming back from the year before. So they were still trying to figure out how to work with each other. When you guys are used to bonding and you're used to being around each other, you play a lot better. And that's the reason why, like, some teams, when their offensive line stay the same for a while, even though they don't have anyone that's, like, spectacular, because they work so well as a group, they do an awesome job. And I think that's really what we're going to have this year. We got a lot of guys coming back. They're used to each other. They are going to be capable. They've got three starters coming back and then two other guys. I think we did lose one of our starters to injury. But they've been working together. They've been together for a little bit longer. And so they're going to work better as a group. Even if maybe they're not the best individually, as a group, I think they'll do a really good job. And they do have that experience as well of playing together for that last year. That does help a lot. And another thing that's really going to help Kent Myers is our running back, Devontae Mays.
Perfect segue into Devontae Mays. And, I mean, we could spend the rest of the show talking about Devontae Mays. I'll tell you a funny story while we're talking him, though. We were sitting here. It was almost Super Bowl time, and we were talking about Cam Newton, of course. And someone knocks on the, well, they come bang on the window and they're trying to say something. So we're like, yo, come in, come in. So we open the door and they're like, oh, I went to the same junior college as Cam. And we're like, oh, word, dude. And so he's telling us all about this. And we're like, what was your name, man? He's like, oh, I'm Devontae Mays. And we're like, we're like, oh my gosh. Because I never seen the dude without a helmet on.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the funny thing is, like, with basketball players, you can recognize them outside of the game.
It's hard but not football, to. You can't. You know, they're 7 feet tall. Like, well, you're like, oh, he plays basketball.
But even with that, like, I mean, with the football players, though, you don't actually, I mean, you might be able to tell that they're a football player based on their build and stuff, but you're not going to be able to necessarily know which one it is because you don't see their face ever.
I'll tell you, if you would have walked in here full padded up, I would have known immediately.
Yeah,
or like wearing a number on his shirt.
I mean, even without the number on his shirt, you can tell their form in the past.
Right.
But like they come in here, you're like, oh, that's what you really look like.
Yeah.
You're a real human being who actually does stuff like at this university. That's weird.
I mean, it was
that's
like crazy. When I went to a press conference last year after one of the games, Nick Vigil came in, and like I saw him and I was like, that wasn't what I expected him to look like. So, I mean, it's just funny to see like there's that big contrast. I mean, Devontae Mays is kind of he's on the front cover of the football preview.
Rightfully. For the Statesman. That's the right person to put on there.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think he's going to have a huge year.
Yeah, so the thing. The thing last year is I think whatever reason, I've heard a bunch of reasons why he wasn't put into our offense as quickly as possible, and we relied a little bit more on Hunt in the beginning of the season. But anytime Mays got in, he moved the ball.
He did great.
He's a consistent. He might not break those runs as much as Hunt, but he will consistently get you yards, which is what we needed last year. Where Hunt, he could break a 20, 30, 40-yard run, or he could get stopped at the line.
Yeah.
Where Mays, he runs into somebody, and he pushes him back.
He's like,
a big guy.
Okay, when we talk about, we're going to go to the league real quick. Uh-huh. Woo, woo, woo. Marshawn Lynch. I kind of see him as the same type of running back. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. I would agree. He's definitely, he'll pound through people and stuff.
He'll just
break
push,
tackles, keep
push.
Going. The thing about it is, like, I think that his big play capability is kind of underrated. I think that he is capable of busting those huge runs.
He almost had 1,000 yards last season.
Yeah, on like half a season almost.
It's not that he can't bust the yards. He's
that's
a
not what
great runner.
Using him for.
Right, yeah. He's more consistent. I think Hunt is better used for breaking those runs, but Devontae Mays can't be slept on. He's a great runner, and if you let him go, he's gone.
Yeah, and he's just going to pound your defense, pound your defense, pound your defense. He goes out for a break, you put in Luan Hunt, and they're pounded down, and he ends up breaking it for a big game. That happened a lot last season.
Exactly.
Like, he would just wear down the defense, and then Luan Hunt would benefit at the end. They're both, I think they both do a pretty good job. Obviously, like we mentioned, they're kind of different styles.
Mm-hmm.
Luan Hunt is a guy you want in the open field. Devontae Mays, just send him up the middle and let him run over some people. And get 5 yards of carry. He
Mays
did an awesome
was
job.
So underrated last season, and I think this is finally his time. And I think I'm excited to see what he's doing. But you know, with little time left, there's something we definitely have to talk about, and it's the defense. The defense last season I felt was a powerhouse, and we had some great guys back there. And now we lost how many to the league? Three starters on defense to the league.
Yeah,
I mean, we lost Vigil, huge.
Vigil, Fackrell both got drafted one after the other in the draft. Obviously, the whole thing with Torrey Green kind of ruined his chances of being in the league. David Moala was signed by the Broncos as a free agent, but he was also cut this last week. But we lost a bunch of guys. We lost 6 out of our main front 7 players. We lost 4 linebackers and 2 linemen. So we lost a lot on defense, and I think that we will have guys that will step up, but I think it'll take a little bit of time. I think the offense is going to have to, you know, kind of carry the torch for a little bit, whereas they weren't necessarily the side you look to last year. I think coming back with more experience and then the running game, I think that we're going to do an awesome job. I think that the offense is going to be pretty dang good this year. I think the defense will get there, but I think it might take a few games for them to really.
You're replacing half your starting defense.
And the two big powerhouses on defense, and Vigil and Fackrell, they were the biggest difference makers in our defense, and we lost both of them. It's going to be an adjustment period, that's for sure.
Someone I'm definitely excited to watch this year is cornerback Jalen Davis, though.
He's coming back.
He's a great player. I think he did a great job last year.
As long as he can watch his pass interferences, he's a great cornerback. I think that's the one thing he really struggled with is turning to look at the ball real quick. I think that was the one thing I saw last year that he struggled a little bit with. But besides that, he was on the guy. He was a great corner. I really love him.
So with 3 minutes left, let's get into Weber a little bit. Weber has 9 offensive starters returning. They don't have anybody who moved the ball last year is back to do it again. They have a senior quarterback who didn't have such a great season last year, but, you know, you never know. Senior year, man. And they're pretty deep at running back.
It's like High School Musical senior year.
It is senior year. They got 8 defensive starters returning. So, if there's a team who doesn't have to re-go and at the beginning of every season, you have to figure out your team, how you play together. It's totally different. This is a team that doesn't have to spend so much time doing that because they had all last season to figure it out.
Yep, and Evans.
Sorry, I would say exploit the running game against Weber.
Yeah.
They allow plenty of rushing yards.
Yep.
And so,
The big thing is I know a lot of people are worried because last year we came out against SUU and didn't look very good, barely snuck that return in and won the game. That SUU team beat Weber 44-0 last year. So
yeah, and plus last time we played Weber 2 years ago, we beat them 70-6. We've only lost to them one time in the history of our program, and that was back in the 80s or something. So we've dominated them. We should dominate them again, but we can't come out and play flat like we did last year against SUU. SUU had some good players. We still shouldn't have let it be a close game.
Of course not. Of course not.
We shouldn't have waited until the last minute to return a punt for a touchdown.
It was a nail biter the whole way. Like
it was an ugly game.
I remember being in the crowd. I'm like, is this really happening?
So
like,
frustrating.
Is this really going on like this?
Exactly.
Yeah, extremely frustrating. So, yeah.
So that's going to wrap up our pregame here tonight. You can catch us at the new, and I found some stats on this, $36 million Maverick Stadium. So we hope to see you there tonight at the new Maverick Stadium. If not, you can catch us on Twitter or wherever you find all your college football.
And make sure you tune in next week. We will give you the exact time of when we're going to have a pregame show, but we will have one before the USC game, even if it's going to be guys who are still here, even though I might be in USC. We'll have to figure it out, but we will make sure we have one.
We will.
Because they're a lot of fun. And
so for all your college radio football needs, you know where to tune in, and it's here, 92.3. KBLU, we got you covered. Thanks for tuning in tonight, guys.
Yeah. Take care, everyone. We're going to listen to a liner for station identification and then Arcade Fire, Crown of Love.
Woo!
KBLU, Aggie Radio, Utah State University.